We're doing the book of Shmuel, and we're up to what might be called the 26th chapter. Tonight, we'll try to discuss different types of sorcery, and we'll see how far we get. Yeah. The Navi tells us that the people of the territory of Ziph came to Shaul, and they said, David is in hiding in the hilltop of Chachila. And Shaul took 3,000 men with him out into the desert of Ziph. And Shaul camps by the hilltop of Chachila, and David was in the desert, and he sees that Shaul has come after him. David sends spies, and he realizes that Shaul is really there. Now that everything's been clear, David goes to the camp where Shaul is camping. It's night, and David sees that the camp, everyone's sleeping in a circle, and in the middle is Shaul and Avner ben Ner. And David comes back to camp, and he takes with him Avner ben Ner. He takes with him Avishai ben Tsruya, his nephew. Tsruya is David's sister. Avishai is his nephew. And together they go down to the camp where Shaul is sleeping. Saul is the king, it's his father-in-law, and next to Saul's head he has placed the spear, stuck it in the ground. And Avishai tells David, look, everyone's sleeping, God gave your enemy in your hand, I'll go down, I'll take the spear, I'll hit him once, it'll all be over, I won't have to hit him twice. And David says, no, don't destroy him, who has ever sent his hand against the anointed one of God and come clean? David says, I swear by God, because I swear that Hashem will destroy him, or his day will come and he'll die, or he'll die at war, but God forbid that I should cause the anointed one to die. But, do me a favor, take his spear, take the pitcher of water and let us go. And then David realizes, wait a second, could be when he's so close to Saul, he'll kill him anyways. So David himself goes down and takes the pitcher and the spear, and they go. Now, God has caused them all to be in a deep slumber. No one awakes when David slips into the camp and slips out. And David crosses over. He's on another hilltop. And he starts calling out. And he calls the general, Avner, chief general, what do you have to say? And Avner says, who has the gall to yell at night when the king is sleeping? And David tells Avner, Avner, you're a brave man of war. Who is like you in Israel? You're the chief general. How come a man of your stature did not watch your master the king? You know, a man came over there with the thought of killing the king. It's not good what you've done. I swear by Hashem, you all deserve to be killed. This is how you watch the king of Israel. He doesn't say, you deserve to be killed, Avner. Out of respect, he speaks to everyone. But really, he means Avner. You know, he's the anointed one of God. Notice David is showing them, I never said he's not king. I've never rebelled. You guys, what kind of guards are you? Now, do me a favor, Avner. Take a look. Where is the king's spear? Where is the king's flask of water? They were right near his head when you guys went to sleep. Everyone's just waking up out of their sleep. They look around. They have nothing to answer. What is David telling him? Why don't you answer, Avner? So we discussed last time that the first time when Shaul went into the cave and David cut off the corner of his cloak, Avner said to Shaul, must be your coat got caught on a thorn or something and he got your coat, the corner of your coat over there. Can't be that he could have really killed you and he let you go away scot-free. No, don't worry about Shaul. We got to still kill him. So David says, Avner, what are you going to say now? You had an answer for the corner of the coat, but you know, the spear, the dagger, the the flask of water, they were next to his head. What are you going to answer now, Avner? You spurned Shaul to chase me. You're the one who kept saying that I'm trying to kill him. What are you going to say now? And Shaul recognizes David's voice. It is his son-in-law. It is the lad who played the harp before him. And he says, "Is that your voice, my son David?" And David says, "It is my voice, my master the king. Why is my master chasing after his servant? What have I done? What have I ever done wrong? Now let my master the king hear what his servant has to say. If Hashem is the one that got you riled up against me, may he smell this as an offering before him. And if people have gotten you riled up against me, they are cursed before God, because in chasing me they have caused me to be chased out of God's lot, and I have to go serve other gods." Our sages say, who's forcing David to serve other gods? What's that talking about? So our sages say that when a person is forced out of Israel, that's the equivalent to forcing him to serve other gods.
It's a source, right?
Yeah, it's a Gemara. This is the source, yeah. This is the source. So here, this pasuk is the source. So what does that mean? So Nachmanides says something which I don't know if we understand. And Nachmanides gives us warning in the introduction to his book. He says, "I'm going to say Kabbalah and you don't understand it. If you don't understand it and you think you understand it, then you're worse off than if you knew you didn't understand it. So make sure you know what you don't understand." So I'm not sure there's a point in my quoting Nachmanides, but I'll quote it anyways. Nachmanides says something along the lines of, he says, every nation in the world, every land in the world, has an angel in heaven that represents them. And the land of Israel is God's land. God is here watching over us. When a person is here and he prays to God, so to speak, he's directly under God. When a person goes to Chutzlaretz, he's under the angel of that people, of that land, when he's there. We don't serve angels, but at the end of the day, they do have control over certain territories. So when you're in the portion of God, you're serving God directly. When you're in their portion, so we say, all prayers have to go funnel through Israel and up to Shanayim. And you know what? How do they get from where you are out and wherever you are to Israel? So the angel of the nation you're under has some say in that. And that's why the Ramban says, when you're in Chutzlaretz and you're under the auspices, so to speak, of the angel of the Edomite territory, the angel of Yishmael territory, whatever territory you're under, that's what he means. Okay, so you understand that misunderstanding this concept is the equivalent of idol worship, right? I mean, this is very, very close, as with many Kabbalistic concepts. You get it right, you understand something holy. You get it wrong, you're talking idol worship. So what's right and what's wrong? Don't ask me. So why did I quote it? I'm not sure. I don't know. Okay.
So if we believe that God owns and rules the Kol Olam Kulo, so it's work, how by saying that an angel is keeping these people, this land, this place, this,
that's what I said. It's borderline idol worship. You got to be careful. Right? Agreed.
Okay,
we have to realize what we don't know.
Okay, we need to realize that. How sages can say that an angel is in charge of that place? And by end of story, God... There's Ashkacha for everything.
Thursday. Bezrat Hashem. It's too long. So David says, and now don't let my blood fall before God, for the king has gone to chase after a flea, just as the birds chase their prey through the mountains. Why? And Shaul says, I have sinned. Return, my son David. I won't do you any harm anymore. You have shown that my soul is precious before you today. I've done foolishness. I have erred very much. And David doesn't answer him. David calls out and says, here's the spear of my master. Let one of the lads come forward and take it. David doesn't even dare come close. And Hashem should pay the man back for his righteousness and his being faithful. For Hashem has given you today in hand, and I didn't want to send my hand against the anointed one of God. And just as your soul was precious to me today, so too my soul should be precious to God. He doesn't ask Shaul for favors. You know, logic would say, your soul was precious to me, my soul should be precious to you. David doesn't even have any expectations that way. And Shaul tells David, blessed are you, my son David, you will succeed, you will be successful. David goes his way, Shaul goes back to his place. And David says, you know, I can't stick around, because if I do, then one of these days Shaul might overtake me. So I got to go to Philistine territory. Go to the other side. Go to the enemy.
How do you mean overtake?
One day Shaul might just catch me unaware. Maybe one day he will get me. And this this is a concept that we see time and again by David. David doesn't sit idly by and say, well, so far so good. God promised me everything's going to be okay. God promised me I'm going to be king. David knows an important concept in Hishtadlut. On the one hand, we know Hashem is running the world. On the other hand, we know Hashem gave us the responsibility to do. Part of doing is ensuring we stay alive. There was a story here in Jerusalem when the Jordanians were shooting into Jerusalem, and it was evident that war was breaking out. So the Brisker Rav ran. So one of the big rabbis came to him and said, what are you running for? We have on tradition that once the redemption begins, it's not going to end. We're headed in a good direction. What are you running for? So he said, and I have on tradition that when they shoot at you, you run. So that's the message of David. You know, he's not sitting idly by and saying, you know, it's everything's going to work itself out. You see, even now, where seemingly everything's okay, he's already given a prophetic vision. Saul's near his death. David tells Avishai, don't kill him, because either he'll die at war, or his day will come, but I'm telling you, it's almost over, David promises. And even so, David says, I can't stick around here. Who knows? One day, Shaul might take me down. And so David takes his 600 men to Achish, the king of Gat, one of the Philistine kings. And Shaul hears that David has run away, so Shaul stops giving chase. David tells Achish, why should I stick around here? It's expensive for you to give me food and my men. I've come to join your sides. Let me leave the capital and sit in the fields. Achish gives him the city of Ziklag, and from that day onward, Ziklag becomes territory that belongs to Judean kings, even though technically it's not within their territory, but being that David received it as a gift from the king of Gath, so it remained in the hands of the Judean kings. Now, David is there for 4 months, and what David does is he takes territories where the people were sitting in confidence, different nations that were not yet conquered by Israel, and he goes with his men, and he conquers, and each time he conquers, he makes sure that no one can escape and tell what happened, and then he takes the loot and brings part of it, he brings to Achish. And Achish asks him, where'd you get all this from? And David says, oh, I attacked the northern part of Judean territory. I attacked this city of the Jews, that city of the Jews. He tells Achish that he's been looting the Jews, when in fact, he's been setting the stage for the Jews to have more territory by taking the enemies, the nations that were sitting in our midst, that were not yet removed, the nations that were in Israel, that were offered to leave, that were offered to convert or to make war, and had opted to stay and not keep the Noahide laws. And David was doing the mitzvah of the king, technically, by ensuring that we conquer all of the land of Israel. And Achish keeps thinking, David is so faithful to me because each time he's destroying his own men and bringing me their loot. And so Achish is convinced that David has faithfully switched sides and David is now one of his men. And now the time has come that the Philistines want to attack Israel. And Achish tells David, you come with me to war. And David says, that's because you want to keep an eye on me? And Achish says, well, you think I don't trust you? I'll make you my top guard. You're going to be in charge of me. You're going to be with me. And they're headed for war. Shaul looks out and he sees the Philistine camp and he sees the huge army that he's facing and he's scared. So he turns to God and he gets no answer. And he tries to ask God through dreams, through the Urim V'Tumim, through the priest, through prophets. And Hashem doesn't accept his prayer. Hashem doesn't give him a dream. Hashem doesn't give him an answer. And Shaul is at a loss. Shaul is scared, and rightfully so. And Shaul had ensured that there wouldn't be any Ov or Yidoni. What is Ov and Yidoni? So What is Ov and Yidoni? Torah tells us last week's parsha, you're not allowed to have Ov and Yidoni in your midst. What is Ov and Yidoni? So the simple reading is that Ov and Yidoni are a way of asking the dead. One understanding is that Ov, they do all kinds of spices, and then they could make the dead answer from under the armpit. They'd bring back the spirit, and they would sit under the armpit and talk. They'd put a bone in the mouth of a skull, and with some kinds of incantations, they'd get answers to their questions from the dead. And Yidoni was also a method of bringing back the dead. One understanding is that Yidoni has to do with Yadua. Yadua, the Talmud tells us, the Mishnah tells us, there is an animal called Adnei Hasode, a Yadua. What's a Yadua? It's an animal that has human-like form, but its navel connects to the earth. And it's a wild animal, but if you only find it, so it can kill. And Mishnayos discuss, is it a human being or is it not a human being? It looked human-like, and it could talk, and it was wild. It seems like it could pick up clods of earth with its navel and move places. So long as its navel was attached to earth, that's where it lived from. You wanted to kill it, you'd have to shoot an arrow at the navel. Once the navel was severed, then the animal died. What's shot in this? We don't know. I mean, I don't think we have on record that anyone ever saw an animal like this, right? So we don't know, but the Mishnayos discuss it. So it seems like in Chazal's time they didn't know what this was. Whether this became extinct or what, I don't know. Maybe one day we'll still see one. I don't know. No, they didn't believe there was such a thing as an electric eel until they saw one, and they didn't believe there was such a thing as that fish that they said was from the dinosaurs' age until a few years ago they actually caught one, right? You guys know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Off the coast of Mexico.
Yeah, okay.
So we don't know. Maybe this exists too. We don't know. But at any rate, there was a way either of talking to this creature or taking one of its bones and through that getting answers from the dead. And that is called Ov and Yidoni, these ways of asking the dead. And there's a big machlokes, there are dak quotes over here from the Gaonic period, whether this was for real, did the dead really answer them, and were their answers for real, or were the people who did this all fakers, charlatans, and they were all like ventriloquists, and they could make the voices come from the armpit and from the earth. The simple reading of the Talmud and Maimonides, the simple reading of the Talmud is that this worked. They really knew how to do this. They were able to talk to the dead, and that's the simple reading of the verses we're about to read. So Shaul says, if I can't get an answer from God, so get me a woman who knows how to ask the dead. And now Shaul has eradicated all people who did this type of witchcraft from the land of Israel. It's a biblical prohibition, punishable by the death penalty. So Shaul has ensured that there's no one left to do this. And they finally tell Shaul, yeah, after much research, we came up with one woman. And Shaul gets all dressed up, and he goes to ask her, please bring me someone up from the dead through your oath. So the woman says, you know, King Saul has prohibited anyone from doing that. Why are you asking me to do something that I could get the death penalty for? And Shaul promises her, by God, I swear by God, nothing bad will happen to you from this. And the woman says, who do you want me to bring up? And he says, I want you to bring up Shmuel from the dead. And the woman, she does her thing, and suddenly she sees Shmuel, and she yells, and she says, you're Shaul, you're King Saul, why'd you trick me? I say, just say, how'd she know? Because when you bring up a person from the dead, they always come up feet first. Except where if the one asking is the king. If a king asks to bring up someone from the dead, then they come up head first. So she sees Samuel rising. She sees Shmuel rising from the dead. And he's coming up head first. Our sages say that the one who brings up the person from the dead sees him but can't hear him. The one who asks him to bring him up from the dead, he could hear him but he can't see him. So the woman could see him. And Saul could hear him. Saul could talk to him, but she can't talk to him. But now that she's seen Shmuel come up head first, so she says, you must be Shaul if he came up head first. Why'd you trick me? Why'd you get me to do this? He says, don't worry, what'd you see? She said, I saw many godly creatures, angels coming up from the ground. Our sages say when Shmuel was being called He was being called from his grave. He said, what's going on here? Why am I being called? Is it time to be resurrected? Time for everyone to wake up. He went around to all the great people. He said, Moshe, what's going on here? Moshe said, no, I don't think it's time for people to be resurrected. He said, maybe I'm being judged again. Come with me, Moshe. Aaron, he goes to all the giants of Israel and says, are we being resurrected? They say, no. He said, well, maybe they want to judge me again if I'm being called up from the dead. Come with me. So when she sees Shmuel, she sees many angels coming up around with him. And now she's brought up Shmuel. He asks her, what does he look like? She says, he's an old man and he's wearing a coat. And that was Shmuel's claim to fame, his coat. And Shaul bows, and we're going to Be'ezrat Hashem pick up here with this scary conversation next week.